is suddenly. It's a fascinating thing that Angela had no idea what I was preaching on, and yet she spoke over Val that what God was doing was a suddenly. And I'm like, Mike goes whack on me, and, you know, God's doing something here this morning. And so most of us know that the word suddenly, because it ends in an L-Y, is an adverb. That's a thing that describes a verb, okay? It tells you how it happens. But today I'm breaking all the rules, and suddenly is a noun, okay? Today, suddenly is a noun. It is, by definition, it's a powerful moment when God moves quickly in unexpected ways in a situation, often without warning. Can you recall a time when God moved in a quick, unexpected way in your life? When he surprised you with his, and delighted you with his goodness, I think that Jamie experienced that even this week. And God is serious about suddenlies. Because did you know that in the New King James, there's 71 of them in the Bible? And in the New Living Translation, there's like 101 of them. So there's a lot of suddenlies. And so I want you to grab hold of this truth that God gave me for you today. And I want it to go way down deep in your heart, and so that it holds you captive in the things of God, in what he wants you to understand. And so this morning, I want to share just briefly about a few suddenlies, okay? There's going to be a scripture verse reference up there, but it's just for note takers. I just want to tell you, like in 1 Samuel 3, it says, suddenly the Lord called out, Samuel, Samuel. And I want you to know something. God had been silent before that and quiet, and his speaking was very rare. And then suddenly he came on the scene. And I love the fact that he came on the scene with a young man. A young boy. It wasn't an adult or a priest or anybody else, but it was a boy. And in 1 Samuel 14, 15, Jonathan, the king's son, and his armor bearer were doing a battle alone against the army, just the two of them. And it says in 1 Samuel 3 that suddenly the Lord suddenly panic broke out in the Philistine army. It was just crazy, and God moved, and they won the battle with two men. In 2 Kings, Elijah and Elisha were walking down the road when suddenly a chariot of fire, can you imagine encountering a chariot of fire, separated them and drove between the two men. And it ended up that he went up to heaven without dying. And then in Luke, all of you know this because you love Christmas. So in Luke 2, it says, suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds. Do you remember that? He suddenly appeared. They had never experienced it before, and suddenly God was on the scene. And then I love the one in John 6. It's the men are out on a boat on the lake, and it gets really rough and rocky and scary out there. And they look up, and there comes a man walking on the water. And that was Jesus. It says they suddenly saw Jesus walking on the water towards the boat. And I think this is the one where he gets in the boat, and immediately they're at shore. So God works suddenlies from one end of the Bible to the other. It's an actual thing that happens. And I'm here to declare this morning that he's still a God of suddenly. Did you hear him speak this morning over Val? Yeah. And so I remind you that he still comes unexpectedly, sometimes without warning, and he works wonders. Did you know that the person of the suddenlies is actually the Holy Spirit? It's the Holy Spirit who works the suddenlies in our life. And he's that river of living water that flows out of you. That's the person of the suddenly. And so I said to the Lord, I actually asked him, Lord, what do you want me to preach on this morning? And he said, suddenly. And I was like, oh, okay, I can do this. And I went from there, seeking his face, asking him what he wanted. So I threw it back at him and I said, remind me of a suddenly in my life. And instantly a memory came to my mind. And I want to share that with you because I want you to know that God works suddenlies today. And so he brought me to 14 years ago on April Fool's Day. Okay, 14 years ago. And let me back up into the fall before April Fool's. And Mike and I decided that we were going to put our house on the market and sell it. And we were going to buy something different. We loved our house, but it had tons of itty-bitty rooms. And whenever we gathered, there was no place for us all to gather in. And it had a huge lot and a lot of mowing. And so we thought, we're going to trade up. So we found a house. We actually put an offer on it. And we put our house on the market. One person looked at it, said they were interested, and that was the end. And nothing happened. The time came up, and our offer was over what we had to sell our house for it to work. And so there we were. Christmas came. I said, Mike, God obviously does not want us to sell our house, so we're going to just get in and finish doing all these little chores that we should do. And on April 1st, Fool's Day, I was actually sanding on a wood floor, and the phone rang. And I answered it, and it was a realtor, the realtor that we had dealt with. He said, I have a signed offer on your house. There's only one issue. They want you out by April 29th. I was like, what? Pretty much like that. And I said, is this an April Fool's joke? I love that God used April Fool's Day to show me a suddenly. And let me tell you something. On April 29th, everything was moved into our brand new house. We traded for an old house for a new house, only 15 years old. And we sold our house for more than we paid for the new house. And so suddenlies are a very fascinating thing. Remember, the person of the suddenly is the Holy Spirit. He's the one at work. And he's looking out, looking upon you, looking on who he can pour out that suddenly. So I don't know if you know this or not, but Lighthouse Church has a suddenly too. Because Mike received a call to see if we were interested in this building for our church. 3 weeks later, we held our first service in this church. That's a suddenly. But I want you to know something. There's something you need to understand about this story. You see, they had offered this building to lots of different people, and no one else wanted it. Well, they didn't take it. I don't know if they wanted it or not, but they didn't take it. And you see, the people that had owned this building, the people that had built this building and thought this building up, they had dismantled. But in the time that they were here, as a body of believers, there was many prophetic words given over this property and over this house. And I want you to know something. God knew who needed to move in here because he knew who was going to align with those words, and that God, what he wanted to do through us was what he wanted to do through this place, and that those words did not die when that church dismantled. Those words were still alive and well, and God took us suddenly and moved us. You know, the Mancusis were actually on vacation when we got the call and moved in here. And they came home and went to go to church, and the building was empty with a sign on the door. And they were like, what in the world? We were gone for 3 weeks. What happened? God's a God of suddenlies. And again, the person of the suddenly is the Holy Spirit. And he's looking, this is really important, he's looking for those who are steward the words He has spoken. Are you an agent working towards what God has spoken over you prophetically? I would guess almost every one of you have had a prophetic word in this house. If you haven't, see me afterwards and we'll ask the Lord for a word for you. And I read this book by Bill Johnson, and it's on the Holy Spirit. And he said something that is so powerful that I felt just needed to be in the foundation of you understanding about us suddenly. And this is what he says. Sometimes when God speaks to us, when he speaks words to us, it's just a done deal and it happens. But most of the time, when he speaks, you have a responsibility in it. You actually have to steward the word that was given to you. So you don't go, oh, yay, look what God said to me. Fold it up and put it, someday that will happen. That's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to go after it. You're actually supposed to steward what God has spoken over you. He did it with purpose. And not only that, when he gave you that word, he already put in you everything you need so that you can actually accomplish that word. And so this is one of the things he said. He said, it concerns me, and he's talking about himself. He said, it concerns me that when I stand before the Lord, I may see promises that were meant to be fulfilled that didn't come to fruition simply because I waited for him to act instead of living as a steward of all God had spoken. So are you convinced from the church story and my story and the stories from the Word that God actually is a God of suddenlies? Have you actually experienced some of those? You see, the Word of God gives us pictures and stories on how God can change a circumstance in a moment of time. How many of you are under some circumstances? You shouldn't be under them, but are experiencing circumstances. Maybe it's healing. Maybe it's at your job. Maybe it's in relationships with people in your neighborhood or your family. There's all kinds of things that you are crying out, asking God to do something, and you're waiting. And you're waiting on us suddenly. You're waiting for the Holy Spirit to move in your situation and in your thing. And I want you to know that he is a God that answers. And there's great hope and expectancy when we look to him, when we give him those things that we are dealing with, and we say, here you are, and we hand it to him. Even this week, it was a difficult week for me. I faced some real circumstances that wanted to stand on me. And I want you to know something. God is faithful. He is so faithful. Do you want to know what he honestly did for me? I couldn't deal with what I was dealing with. And I didn't know what to do with it. Do you ever feel that way? And you say, here, it's yours, God. And then you're all over it again. And then you go, it's yours, God. And then you're all over it again. I woke up one morning from a dream that I had gone into surgery without anesthesia. And all my friends were around me. And I was like, oh, God, you did surgery on me. Thank you. And that from that moment on, I'm telling you, I have a new heart, a new understanding, a new depth of who God is and what he's doing through me. And even this morning, somebody gave me a word that said, God has so much more for you. God has so much more for you. And he does. So the idea that your situations, your problems, and your adverse circumstances should make you actually stop and look for a suddenly. Actually look for it. You know, an answer can come out of nowhere at any moment and surprise as well as delight you. Do you believe God would want to surprise and delight you? Oh, church, he takes such pleasure in you. Such pleasure in you. Are you assured that not only God can move, but that he will move in your life as you You see, his glory and his profound good come out of all circumstances when you give him the problems and situations. And I would like to remind you something this morning, that any time that what you're facing seems greater than who God is, you have made that thing a god. You've made it higher than you. And God doesn't like that. God is able to take any circumstance, any situation, and he is able to move. No matter what you've been through, no matter what you're going through now, no matter your experiences, I'm telling you that God is able. He's more than able. So in the book of Acts, we find lots of instances when God moved in this suddenly. And I'd like to share a couple of them with you. And it's interesting that all of the different suddenlies in the book of Acts, they all have the same Greek word. And that word actually, it means unawares or unexpected. And those written reports actually give us keys that will attract the suddenly of God in our own story. You want God to come and move in your story? I'm going to give you some keys that will help you to find that. So those moments in the book of Acts, they weren't random. What happened, those suddenlies came because these men responded in particular ways that invited the power of the Holy Spirit, invited his working in the suddenly in them. And those accounts actually teach us to position our heart. When we position our heart, it invites God to move in our situation. Yeah. So the first one is in Acts 2, and it's on the day of Pentecost. And the disciples were gathered in obedience to Jesus' command to wait in Jerusalem. I don't know if you know this or not, but their homes were not in Jerusalem. They weren't. And actually, many of the disciples were considered outcasts. And since Jesus had been crucified, they had faced fear and fear and fear again. All of that. And yet, they obeyed. And they stayed in Jerusalem. So the first key in attracting a suddenly of God in your life is obedience. It's actually the core of almost everything about God. He, from Genesis on, he's asking for obedience from his people. Yeah. And we obey. Why do we obey? We obey because we love him so much. And we obey because we trust him. Do you know that he knows more than you? And he knows what's better for you than you do? And he knows how to bring it all together in the right way? Did you know that? That's the God we serve. And positioning our heart towards obedience is a key to experiencing a suddenly in your life. It actually, obedience prepares our hearts to encounter things supernaturally. But as they were in that mode of in Jerusalem, they not only obeyed and stayed there, they did something called they waited. How many of you like to wait? No one. Interesting. So the second key to attract a suddenly of God is something called waiting. I'm going to ask you, how do you wait? Do you wait well? Here's a key. Do you wait expectantly? I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's coming. I don't know how God can do this, but I know he can, and I know he's going to do something tremendous. Is that your heart? Or I'm like, oh, help, I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know how we're going to get beyond this moment. There's a difference. We wait, but we wait with expectancy. We look with anticipation that God's going to move. You see, you have to understand at the core of how you think, you have to believe that God loves you, that God cares about you, that he cares about the details of your life, which the scripture tells us he does, and that he's wanting to do stuff in your life. So many people think God will do that for this person, but not for me. That's a lie. That's a lie of the enemy. God is always willing to work on your behalf. He's always looking how he can't move in your situation and through your struggles and through your problems. So is your heart in the waiting? Do you like give him 3 seconds and then figure it out on your own? You ever do that? I'm giving you this to God. I'm giving this to God. I'm laying it at the cross. I'm letting go of it. I wonder if I tried. Ever gone there? Done that? Come on, people. I'm not alone. You guys make me feel bad. You see, we need to learn to wait on God, not move until he shows up. You see, people think that waiting is inactivity. That is not truth. Waiting is a position that you are ready and looking for God to move in whatever it is that you're going through and whatever it is that you're facing. Waiting is difficult, especially in today's world where everything's instant. You don't even like to wait 3 seconds at the McDonald's drive-thru, right? Sometimes waiting seems like you're not doing anything. And sometimes God is saying, will you wait? I love Psalms 27:14. It says, wait patiently for the Lord. That's a command. So you get to do the first thing, which is obey, and you get to do the second thing, which is to wait, all in one. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. It does. It takes courage to wait. It takes courage to say, we're not moving until God shows us what to do. I'm not being pressured by someone else to make me move and do what God hasn't told me to do. That takes courage. It says, yes, wait patiently for the Lord. And then I asked you, do you actually wait in faith? Knowing God hears and knowing God is working, believing his heart is for you, that he hasn't forgotten you, that he hasn't forsaken you. That faith word, you know, it says in the scriptures this, without faith it's impossible to please God. Those that come to him must believe that he is and that he's actually a rewarder of those who seek him. He's actually one that blesses. He sends out suddenlies on those faith. Put a target on yourself. Arise in faith. Waiting in faith. Believing that God is going to move. It doesn't matter what your circumstance is. I'm telling you, I have seen God do impossible after impossible after impossible thing. When I waited before him, expectantly, waited for him, believing that he was actually going to move and do something. And he surprised me. He did. He wowed me. And if I told you some of the details of things he's done, my husband would be bawling like a baby. And so I can't even tell that story because it's too powerful. Because neither of us know how God did what he did, but he did it. And I am so thankful that he's that kind of God, that he moves. Yeah. Charlie, God's been moving on your behalf. Amen? Beautifully. Yeah. God is so good. I'm so thankful. I am so thankful. There's one more thing about your waiting. You have to wait in rest. Ooh. Do you know what that is? Rest. Not fretting, not being troubled, not being anxious, not letting anxiety get you. Rest. Rest only comes out of trust of your Savior. That's where rest comes. I say to him often, if everything is gone and I have nothing left, I still will trust and love you because that's, you are such a good God and you have purpose in all that you do, in all the ways you move. And I can't wait to see what you're doing, God, in my story. D. David cries out this in Psalm 41. I waited patiently for the Lord to help me. And he turned to me and he heard my cry. He hears your cry, church. He hears your cry. So those, we're back to those men in the upper room who were obedient and who waited. They waited in faith. They waited expectantly and they waited in rest. And they waited 10 days. I wonder how long 10 days would be to you if you were sitting in this room and the Lord said, I want you to go to Lighthouse Church and I want you to wait because I have something for you. Just wait. Maybe you would be like, okay, let's get this show on the road. Let's get moving. Come on, God. What's going on? I've got people to see and things to do. What do you want me to just sit here for? And yet God said, wait. Wait. And maybe they were thinking, what in the world is taking so long? Do you ever think that of God? I've asked. Now, you say you answered. Okay, come on. I'm not seeing it. We do that to God all the time. And he's saying, you want me to move in a suddenly. I want you to be obedient. I want you to wait. And I want you to rest in your wait. But their obedience and their waiting, it produced a crazy, incredible, unbelievable suddenly. Look at Scripture. Acts 2, 1 and 2. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They were gathered in this upper room. And it wasn't just a few of them. There was 120 people waiting all of those 10 days. There could have been a lot more, but not all stayed. Not all waited. Not all went to Jerusalem. They didn't all obey. And they missed out in one of the greatest moves of God ever. And it says in verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting, and flames of fire came on their head. It wasn't actual wind. It sounded like wind. And it wasn't actually burning fire, but it looked like fire on their heads. And they all began to speak in another language, and people, like 3,000 people got saved that day. From them waiting in obedience for God to move how he wanted to, they painted an absolute target on themselves and a suddenly came upon them. And God moved and changed the situation like this in 1 second. Your waiting is critical too. If you're having trouble waiting, read his stories in his book. It will make faith just arise within you. It'll make you believe that he's the God of impossibilities. But I'll tell you beyond that, hear somebody else's testimony. Because testimonies will make you believe God and how he wants to work. Our prayer group has been praying for rain. We've been praying for moisture because we're down, way down in water. And our farmers are going to need rain. So we've been praying. And did you notice all the beautiful rain we've had this last week? And we're supposed to get a half an inch today. That's an answer to the prayer group from Saturday night. Actually, this service and what has happened in it is an answer to the prayer group from Saturday night. Come, I'd love you to join me. More prayers. More power. The second story is found in Acts 16. And as I read this morning, I cried. In Acts 16, Paul and Silas were beaten, imprisoned, and placed in the deepest, darkest part of the dungeon, where what I read about said it was very cold, there was absolutely no light, and it's where chains rusted on prisoners. Not only that, they were put in stocks, and the stocks were actually a form of torture that they were put in. They weren't just keeping their feet, they actually did it for harm to them. So here they are. They've been beaten for sharing the gospel. They've been thrown into the darkest dungeon, and they've been put in their feet in stocks. Yet instead of whining, because trust me, I'd been, God, I'm yours now. Why is this happening to me? That would have been my heart. But they weren't whining. They weren't even complaining. They weren't angry. They weren't frustrated. They weren't frustrated in their suffering. This is what it says. It says in Acts 16:25. Look what it says. But Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. I'm telling you, praise is another key element to drawing us suddenly in your life. That you're always grateful, always thankful, always talking, praising who God is and how he wants to move in your situation. But it is fascinating to me that it just didn't affect them. It affected the whole jail. All of the men were listening. Not only that, it ends up affecting the jailer and his entire family. And so a suddenly comes to them, but it's not just a suddenly for them, it's for everyone around them. What if God wants to do a suddenly in your life that is not just for you, but it's for all around you? He wants to move in that way. And so, in one moment, it went from the worst story ever to the most powerful testimony of redemption. God took what the government meant for harm, absolute harm. Did you hear that, church? He took what the government meant for harm, and he turned it for incredible good. And the only reason that happened is because these men, they said, if we're here, God is with us, and there's purpose. And God's going to do something great in this. And he's going to take what the enemy's meant for harm, and he's going to turn it for good. And so they begin to pray and submit to him. And then they begin to sing. And people think they sang like Psalm 113, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, and 119. They think that's what, because they would have all known those. As Jewish boys, they would have known those by heart. And they think that's maybe what they sang. All I know is it. In Acts 16:26, look what it says. Suddenly, how long before that suddenly came? I can't answer that. But in one moment in time, suddenly, oh my word, there was an earthquake. You might have thought it was getting worse. It might have crossed your mind. So that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. That's a really powerful suddenly of the Holy Spirit moving in into a situation as the target was placed on those men's back where they had been beaten and where they had been mistreated, and they sang and praised, and God came and just powerfully moved through them. Praise. Praise can, you can even start praise with as a sacrifice. I don't feel like it, but I'm going to. But I'm telling you, church, it can turn into a delight as you worship. As you begin to pray and praise, worship seriously shifts your whole thought and being. When I'm down and out, I come here and I worship, and everything shifts and changes. Choose praise over complaint. Complaint draws the enemy. Praise draws the Savior. Praise attracts his suddenly. So the last key is prayer. Prayer is an invitation for God to move. You see, it's not us with a list of things we have. It's actually a back and forth with God, sharing your heart with him. You see, he's calling you to seek him out. Ask him to bring his powers to work in your situation. because he wants to. And he's taking that which concerns you. When you take with that which concerns you and you give it to the one in whom is able, it brings a whole new light. And I want you to know something. When the Lord speaks to you, his words are spirit and his words are life. And they change what's going on inside of you. They change how you think, how you feel, how you don't even know what to do. That's how God wants you to move. Prayer is very intimate. It's a deep sharing of his heart to yours. I love Psalm 91, and I've been reading it almost every day for a long time. And David is actually probably the author of it. But I want you to look at a couple verses at the end of Psalm 91. And I want you to know something. These verses that are going to be up there, 91, 14 through 16, this is God speaking. This isn't David speaking. This is actually God speaking. He says, because Ruth has set her love upon me, therefore I will deliver Ruth. I will set her on high because she has known my name. She shall call upon me, and I will answer her, and I will be with her in trouble, and I will deliver her and honor her, and with a long life I will satisfy her, and I will show her my salvation. I encourage you to read that psalm, putting your name in. Because it's written in such a way that you can speak that. Do you hear God saying that to you? Because you set him on high, because you called to him, he's going to answer you. And he's going to honor you. See, he honored those men in jail. He used them to bring salvation to the jailer, and none of the men ran away that were in jail. I think there was a great revival and ended up with a baptism. There they are with wounds that have never been tended on their backs, baptizing people. Man. And we think we have it hard. And we complain. Read the book. And then my favorite of all, Jeremiah 33:3. He says this, call upon me and I'll answer you and I'll show you great and mighty things which you don't even know. Think about this beautiful truth. God often moves suddenly in our lives. Ponder that word for a minute, suddenly. What might that look like in your health? What might it look like at your workplace? What about in your relationships? Let the truth that God wants to move, that he wants to shift and change your situation, that he actually wants to bring a suddenly into your life, let that be embraced by your heart. God comes suddenly. Suddenly God, he can transform how we anticipate God moving beyond what we could ask or think. Is it possible that preparation is needed for you to experience a suddenly? Do you need to be obedient? Do you need to wait before him and hear what he's saying to you? Wait until he tells you to move. Do you need to change from whining to praise? And you need to make prayer such an intricate part of your day. Praying words. I pray when I'm driving. I pray when I'm dishwashing. I love praying on the lawnmower. It's a great place to pray. No one hears you. Anyway, pray wherever you are. It's not just here at the altar. It's a day by moment by moment. You have an opportunity to attract the suddenly of God if you're willing to use your obedience and your heart is waiting and your mouth is full of worship and your life a prayer to the one who can save you. He wants to save you. Those release an atmosphere that calls to the one who hears and he sends the suddenly. They paint a target on you. And if you don't know and you can't even consider what God might want to do in your situation, listen to this from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. It says, but it is written, eye has not seen, your eyes have not seen, and your ears have not heard, nor have you even considered, even this much, even a little bit inside of your heart, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. And then it goes on, that, but God, through his Spirit, reveals them what's on the heart of the Father for you. What suddenly has God prepared for you this day, even? Remember, we have a part in a suddenly coming into our life. And God is longing to move in your situation. So I encourage you quietly, as you're sitting there right this moment, that you would take whatever concerns you, the thing that is weighing the most on you, and you would literally say, I want what she talked about this morning. I'm going to give you this. I'm going to hand you this, and I'm not going to take it back. I'm going to let you move how you want to. And if you tell me something, I'm going to obey, and I'm going to wait on you. And I'm going to keep my mouth full of praise instead of whining. And I am going to continuously talk to you. And I'm going to thank you that you have an incredible suddenly lined up just for me, that rival and far exceed anything Pastor Ruth's ever encountered. In Jesus' name, amen. So take that moment and ask him to take your situation. Give it to him. Church, it's just going to destroy you. It's not for you. It's for him. Give it to him. Give him your health. Even if it's little things like your skin. Maybe it's your knees. Give them to him. Maybe it's your ankles. Maybe it's your ears. Maybe it's your mind. Give it to him. Let him be the wonder-working God that comes with us suddenly and transforms your physical body. Whatever you're dealing with, nothing's outside the realm of his ability, because he's such a good, good God, and he wants to work in your life. Won't you come? Won't you give it to him? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Stand together. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We do, Lord. We just give you what concerns us, because it concerns you. If it concerns us, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. And we rest in you. Praise you. Hallelujah. Put your hand on your heart this morning. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, and give you peace in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Go in his grace today.